Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Why don't you turn over to Colossians 1? Colossians 1, verse 12. We've read this scripture the last several weeks. We've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith. We've been talking about knowing, the last few weeks, knowing the reality of our redemption in Jesus, in Christ. And we're just going to focus on part of that tonight. It says in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so last week we focused, kind of reviewed some and gave an overview, but we also focused on the part of our inheritance that is healing, physical healing. And verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So notice He has qualified us to be partakers. Has. So He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And part of our inheritance is physical healing. And we touched on that last week, and I want to focus on that tonight. You know, before we move on in this series, I just felt like this is the direction we ought to go. We're qualified to be partakers of our inheritance. So we're qualified now to be partakers of that inheritance. So this doesn't mean we need to wait. It means our inheritance is ours now. See, you could have an inheritance left to you, but you know, you got to go through a few steps likely. They're not going to just, you show up, and they're going to hand it over to you. You're going to you have to prove, you have to have the legal documentation. You have to prove who you are. Doesn't matter that you know that that was your father or mother. No, the state or whoever, they need to know. So you may have to go through some steps that qualifies you. You're already qualified from the fact that it's been left to you, but you need to do a few things. And once you have, there's nothing stopping you from taking and being partaker of that inheritance. And so we, in the spiritual, we've already been qualified to be partakers. Now, we've been qualified. You're not going to get any more qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance that the Lord Jesus has provided then right now. Now. Not even next week. Now. See, this is part, if you believe that now, see, so many Christians are saying, I'll get there. You know, people do that with salvation. People are saying, well, I'm not ready. I'm just not ready. I don't know. I'm not. I don't feel like I'm ready. I'm not good enough. People say I'm not good enough to come to church. I'm not ready to come to church. See, that's like going to your bathtub and saying, "I got to get clean before I go in and get a bath. I'm not clean enough to take a bath yet. Once I get clean, then I'll take a bath." Now I woke up in the morning, I'm just not clean enough to take a shower. I got to go get clean, and then I'll jump in the shower. Well, your people you work with may have wished you would have just jumped in the shower because you weren't clean enough, but now you're not clean at all. But that sounds silly. That sounds, that you know, stupid, but that's what people are doing with the things of God. I'm not ready yet. When I get ready and I get clean enough, then I'll be able to take. You know, I don't feel like I know enough about healing. So I'm not ready to partake. When I do, then I'll take. So you put it out in the future. You put it out in the future somewhere. And the fact is, most of the time, or so many times, the future just keeps getting pushed farther and further. You notice that? Because you don't set a definite time in 3 weeks. I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I'm going down to the courthouse and it's mine. It's not like that. It's just, I'm not there now. I'm not there today. And I know it. And you don't say that I'll get there by doing such and such tomorrow and the next day. It's more like I'm not there. So what does it do? It pushes it out further. But what happens a week from now? It just pushes out further. And what happens the next week? Well, just not there. I'll push it. Right? But what did the scripture say? It said he's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. So we're qualified to partake of the inheritance. We are qualified. So that means there's nothing standing between us and the inheritance. There's no red tape. Now, there is someone that wants to make you think there's red tape and wants to put a bunch of imaginary red tape in between you and the inheritance and tell you all these things. No, no, you can't get there. You're not ready yet, whatever. But the fact is, that's all a smokescreen. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. It's not real. It may feel real. It may look real. But the fact is, you're either qualified or you're not qualified. There's a few things that have happened at home recently. You know, I asked my kids, are you done? They say, I'm almost done. I said, that's the same as not done. The same thing. So you're either qualified or you're not qualified. If you say, I'm almost there, I almost got it done, that's the same as not qualified. You're either qualified or you're not. Right? Did I lose you guys with that? You're either qualified or you're not. So I think so many times that we think, I'm almost there. In other words, it used to be 3 weeks, but it's only a day. Tomorrow I might get there. It's the same thing for all practical purposes. If it's not now, if it's not today, it might as well be a year from now. Now, I'm not saying we don't grow. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's not actually better. If you really are closer to understanding some things, because we're all growing, we can say, you know what, I'm seeing some stuff. I'm not really talking about that. What I'm talking about is when it's always something out in front of you to where if I can't cross the finish line, it's always a little further than me. I'm never done. You know, I'm always just almost there. Well, that's the same as not being there. I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to partake. It's like I got the table spread. It's all there. All the food's there. But I'm just not ready to eat it yet. It's there. And I all these reasons why I can't take it. So we need to know that we're actually qualified now. See, right now we're coming up against religious stuff, right now. Because there's religion that tell you, yeah, I've heard it, but it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. Why can't it be that easy? Who said it's not that easy? Ask yourself that. Well, and then what all this stuff come up? Well, I saw so-and-so. I've heard of so-and-so, or I tried, and then, you know, it just gets to be so hard. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? See, we got this is coming back to where we are. What are we talking about? We're talking about the reality of our redemption in Christ. If it's really real and we really are qualified, then what's the question? What's the real question? See, no, we keep being talked out of the fact that we're qualified. See, you get to the point where you can believe you're qualified, but you got to know you're qualified. In other words, you start down to the courthouse, and then somebody will come up to you and say, "What are you doing? You don't qualify for anything. Who told you that?" "Oh, no. You're mistaken." And so we go down there and we turn around and we start walking back. Does that change the fact that we're qualified? Does it change the fact that all we really have to do is just go right up and say, "I'm going to take it"? No, what happens is somebody comes up to you, things come up to you and say, "What are you? You're not qualified. You're not ready. You realize how many times you've been on the way to the courthouse here and you've never made it yet. You might as well go home." And what are so many people doing? "Yeah, you're right. I heard about healing once. I didn't make it. Ah, forget it. I'm probably just going down the wrong way." That's a lie. And if we get talked out of it, that's the problem. We either are qualified or we're not. It's either really part of our inheritance or it's not. It's either real and Jesus actually paid for it, or he didn't. If he didn't, then let's quit talking about it. Let's pack up. Let's not refer to it anymore. Let's just say, "Nope, that's just not part of it." But if it's real, then let's not just keep halfway going and say, "Well, I believe it. Well, I don't. I don't know. It may happen sometime." If it is real, then we need to look. We need to understand that it's real and take it as reality, a done deal, that it's a fact that you can't be talked out of, that you say, "No, it's mine. It's my inheritance. I've been qualified to be a partaker of it, and I'm having it now, today." Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So we're going to go a little bit. Let's turn over. We turned over to these scriptures. We're going to say this, and we're going to go a little further. Probably a lot further, but Revelation 12:11. We read these scriptures, but let's look at them really quick, or as much time as we need. Revelation 12:11. Well, I don't know. I thought I was just going to preach on this just tonight. We'll see. We're just going to stay. We'll just go with the Holy Spirit. So we just got to stay here. We will. If we get through this, we'll go on. But what's the point of going on if you don't get what you need? I mean, we're not here to just go through a bunch of series. I mean, I'm not. I'm not here to check off a bunch of stuff and say, "Well, I'm done with that." No, I mean, if we stay on, we'll stay on whatever God wants us to stay on. Is that the point? Do we really believe God's ministering to us and growing us up and bringing us up in this room? Or are we just going to go through and just say, "Well, we preached that sermon, now we'll preach the next"? I don't want to do that. Either we're being led by God right now or we're not. So if we are, then we're going to stay right where, I mean, it'd be like if Jesus were up here speaking. And if we believe what God does through the ministry gifts, then you have the Holy Spirit anointing a man or woman to say what he wants to say. Now, if Jesus were talking, and I said, "All right, Jesus, get to the next subject." Wait a minute. If he's speaking, then what he is saying is the right thing. And so we just need to get everything that he's saying, and when he wants to move on, then we'll move on. Right? Hallelujah. So Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him." They overcame who? Who do we talk about? Let's read it a little bit, because we read this before, but let's go back up there. It says, and verse 7, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation. I got to go back up there. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Fallen angels. Where did they go? I mean, he was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast with him. You know, people say, well, I don't know. You know, I read the Bible, and then I go through and all the places it talks about devils and demons. And I'm like, if you're a Christian, where do you think they all went if you don't believe in them now? Because Christians don't. I mean, they'll toss that right out and say, well, you know, there's no demons anymore. Oh, yeah, there are. Where did they go? Where's the scripture that says they're not here anymore? You just got to know that. You got to know your rights and privileges over them. But, oh, yeah, they're real. They're real. And they're going about just like their leader. What does it say about the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world? This is what they do. They're just deceivers. They're liars. They're cheaters. They try to deceive men. Get them to believe stuff that is against God. It says, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And notice that. We stated that before, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So we have our inheritance and have been qualified to be partakers of that inheritance by what Jesus did, by the blood of the Lamb. It talks about that later in verse 14. So that's the foundation. That is how we were born again. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed for us. That was the only way we could be redeemed. Right? So you have to have that. But now, the blood of the Lamb, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and. There's an and there. It doesn't just say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It's not automatic to walk in the inheritance that we've been provided. Amen. I said it's not automatic. Oh, how I wish it were automatic. Yeah. If it were just automatic, and everybody just automatically gets saved, which some people think, been deceived by the deceiver. See, if you think you're automatically saved, then you're not actually going to try to get saved, and that means you're lost. And that's what the devil wants. And so if we think this is all automatically going to happen because I heard it taught, I heard about divine healing, I heard about the authority of the believer, so now it's all automatic for me. Then when something shows up in our lives, we start saying, what did I do wrong? What happened to me? Why is this not happening? God, why did you let this happen? And instead of resisting it, we'll start looking for how it happened. And the devil can play that game all day. Why? Where did I miss it? What happened? Well, unless God reveals to you something you did, I mean, make sure you know that you're right with God. You're not doing something going immediately against him, because you want to be in the right place. If God's telling you to do X and you say, forget that, I'm going over here and doing that, and then stuff starts happening, you want to make sure you're following God. Because that's the place of protection. That's the best place in the world for you, is right where God has you. So if God's saying, go here. Now, like Jonah. Stuff started happening to Jonah when he decided, I'm not going to do what God told me to do, and I'm going to go the opposite way and get on a boat and run away from God. Impossible, like he's going to get away from the Spirit of God. But he's out there on the boat. There's God. And everything's, you know, going wrong, and Jonah says, all right, it's me. Okay, if you know, and your heart, how do you know? Your heart is going to condemn you. Your heart knows that it's going against God. You know. But if there's not that, and you're doing what you know to do, then don't make something up and don't listen to the enemy, because he'll tell you you missed it. And if you don't know anything that you did wrong, you can check your heart. And you say, God, I don't, as far as I know, I'm fine. And if there is something, you say, Lord, I see I did this and I shouldn't have. I repent of it. Now forget about it and stand up just as if you never did anything, and now come against the problem. But if there's nothing, don't make it up. Don't look for something. Because the devil will accommodate you, and you just go in circles. And you'll condemn yourself, and you, again, you won't feel like you're qualified to take what's already yours, because you think somehow you disqualified yourself. There's a real quick way to take advantage, take care of that. If you did, repent of it, ask God to forgive you, and then the Bible says that he'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and now forget about it and stand up. If you didn't do anything, then don't entertain the nonsense. As far as I know, God, I'm fine, and then come against the problem. Regardless, you need to know and be secure and solid when you come against the problem. Because if you're wavering and you're thinking, I just don't know, and what if, you're not on solid ground to come solidly against a problem, because you're still wondering. You're like, I don't know if I really, and that you can't be in faith like that. Amen? Amen. Look at, hold your finger in Revelation and just go just a few pages back into 1 John. Into 1 John is, you know, there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. They're all right before Revelation. In 1 John 3, verse 20. You there? Yep. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, this is 1 John 3, 20 and 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let's read that again. Verse 20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So if your heart's not condemning you, now you have confidence. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, if you're confident, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. If you don't do what God has told you to do and you know it's wrong, your heart will condemn you. There is no way around this. That's why we don't want to mess with sin. It's not because it's some big rule book. God's just waiting to check stuff off and no, it, you know, and give you a report card. No, it's stupid to sin. We give place to the devil. And this is a crux of so much. If we're purposefully doing stuff and knowingly doing things that are against what he's told us to do, there is no way we can have confidence toward God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And we're going to be resisting the devil. So on one, in any situation, if there's problems in our life, so if on one hand we're yielding to him, and we're going in the direction he wants us to go, but then on the other hand we say, okay, but now I'm going to resist you, that doesn't work. And that's why we can't ignore our part in it. We can't just say, well, it's just automatic. It's not automatic. If it were automatic, then everybody would be walking in it. So you can't remove our part from it. You can't make our part everything. You have to know that what Jesus did, and then you have to do something with what Jesus did in our own lives and put it into practice. But before we do that, we just want to make sure. Because the devil will come to you. When you do face a challenge, he's going to come to you and tell you, this is all your fault. You blew it. And if he can keep you there, this is like you're going to the courthouse. He said, what are you doing? You don't have any place. You messed up. You have dirty clothes, for one thing. You're not qualified. And if you believe him, you're going to go back and change. But when you come back out, it's going to be something else. And he'll keep you with that nonsense all day. There's always a reason. He can always point at you that you did something, and that's why you're not qualified yet. When you get that out of your life, then maybe you can believe God like some super Christian, right? Has anybody ever heard any of this besides me?
Yes.
He ever told you any of this?
Yes,
he's a liar. So he's going to tell you, you're just not there yet, like we told you. You need just a little bit more. You need a little bit more understanding. You just don't know it yet. What's he trying to do? You're just not going to step out in faith. You're not going to believe him today. And part of how he does that is when something comes into your life, he's going to attack you and make you think it's your fault. And like I said, that's when we have to know. You got to know that you're walking with God, and then you can boldly say, I'm doing what I know to do, shut up. Because it's only on that ground that you can go forward to the next step and say, now get out of here. But if you're waffling here, like I just don't know, and maybe, well, I'm not sure, and then you try to say, yeah, but so-and-so preached it, so get out of here anyway, the devil's just going to laugh in your face and say, yeah, right. You don't know. You're not convinced because you know you did this and you're like, yeah, I did do that. Well, see, right there, you don't know. He'll get you looking at yourself. But, so when something comes into our life, if we know, and we know that we're qualified, and we realize that God didn't redeem us out of being challenged or any of the trials of life, just outright, that things are going to come to us, but then we need to come against them boldly. So like we are reading in Revelation 12, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So you need to know your foundation is in that blood and what he did. And that if you did do anything that was off, that you stand up, you take care of it, and then because of the blood is the reason you can even stand up and take any position against this, because you know that you're clean. So when you know you're clean, then now there's something else. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Do we have to stand up and say something? We have to stand up and take authority. We have to say, this will not stand in my life. I am qualified now. I am qualified for the inheritance now. and this red tape is not real. I'm going to take it now. And this is where the devil will try to talk you out of it. He'll try to talk us out of what is rightfully ours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's go over to Acts 10:38. Read Acts 10:38. And then we'll go over to James. It says, Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppressed by who? Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The Bible calls sickness satanic oppression right here. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. It's not from God. But we've been part of our inheritance is being free from sickness. And we read this last week, and we actually haven't got into all the scriptures that I was planning on, but let's read this, and before we go over to James, let's go over to Matthew, and then we'll go to James, and we'll wrap up there. In Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17, it says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So part of our inheritance is this. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So he bore them. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and that the devil oppresses people with sickness and disease. But here it says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And we could list a bunch of scriptures, and I was planning on going to some of that, but this will sum up some of that. is that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Jesus, by him dying on the cross, our sicknesses were paid for. So like we read in Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Well, Jesus paid for the sicknesses. He paid for the diseases. And that's part of that inheritance that we've already been qualified to be partakers of. So if we've already been qualified, then we need to do something. We need to resist anything that Satan is trying to sell us along these lines. To turn over to James 4. Let's lay our eyes on it. James 4, 7. James 4, 7. It says, therefore, submit to God. Notice that's the first part of this verse. So many times we'll quote the rest of it. But it says, submit to God. This goes along with what we are saying. Before we go against the enemy, we need to know solidly that I'm submitted to what God would have me to do. Because if I'm not submitted to the Lord, that means, see, if I'm not submitted to God, then who am I listening to? There's no middle ground. I'm either listening and I've said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm submitted to you. And if I'm saying, Lord, I really don't think I'm not going to do that part of what you want me to do. Who are we listening to? There's no other option. It's not like, well, I'm just listening to me. Well, who are you being influenced by? Because there's only one person, one being that's going to get you to go against the Lord. And that's the enemy. That's the deceiver. That's Satan. So if I'm not submitted to God, and I'm listening to the devil, but then I'm going to turn right around and say, but devil, you get out of here, when I'm already saying, devil, I'm going to listen to you here, but I really don't want to be sick. Now you get out over here, but I'm just going to keep on doing this. It does not work. And you're not in a solid ground. Now I'm not saying any of this to put condemnation on any of us. I'm saying this is how the devil works. And this is the way it happens. If we'll know, though, what the Bible says, if we know we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we don't want to have anything to do with the enemy and anything to do with any of what he can do in our lives. So like I said before, it's not automatic. This is not automatic. There are rules, if you will, things that govern these things, laws in the universe. And if we think, and people have tried to make it like this, it's basically like, it doesn't matter what I do, Jesus died for me, so everything is mine, and it's all the blood of Jesus. Well, if you take that to its extreme, what you end up with is people that don't believe you actually have to be born again. Because after all, Jesus did it. It's not on you. And if it's not on us, it means everybody's automatically saved, because God would never send anybody to hell. He's just too loving a God. You don't have to do anything. Jesus did it all. That's the ultimate extreme of that thinking. And it's a lie. Then on the other side, you save yourself. It's based on your report card. Everything you do or don't do, we're going to tally it up, and you're either in or you're out. No, actually, it is that the blood of Jesus has made the way. And how do you become born again? You have to believe that and receive it. So how do you receive every other blessing of God? You have to believe it, and you have to receive it, and you have to take it in your own life. You just take it. You say, I know it, I see it in the Word, and it's mine. And you don't be talked out of it. So we just read in James 4, 7, the first part of that says, therefore, submit to God. And if we're submitted to God, and something comes into us, comes into our life and is challenging us, now we have this next part of our verse. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will, not might, not maybe, he will flee from you. But you can't quote that out of context. You can't just quote that. You have to know that the devil is defeated. We have to know that we have been given an inheritance and we have been qualified to be partakers of that inheritance. And I'm coming to God and I love him and I'm going after him and I know what I have, and the devil tries to raise his ugly head. When it comes, you have to know that you can stand against it and he has to go. But you have to stand against it. You have to know that I can resist it because Jesus qualified it me for it, and it's mine now, and therefore I'm saying leave now, and no matter what it looks like, it's got to go. Do you see that? That's a whole lot different than, well, it's just automatic, and it's a whole lot different than, oh no, something came into my life, so I just don't know what I did wrong or whatever. No, it's something is pushing in my life, and I'm saying, no, I've been redeemed from that. It's already been bought and paid for, and you get out of here, and you stay there. And then it has to go. And we have to know that that's the reality of what we've been redeemed from. That's the reality of our inheritance. Amen? Amen. Praise God.